You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Sit down, sit down, sit down. Sit down, sit down. Sit down, sit down. Glory to God. Woo! Listen to this. Listen to this. In Genesis 17, after the Lord instructs Abraham to change his wife's name, he says in verse 16, I will bless her, and I will give you a son also of her. Yea, and I will bless her, and she will be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Now, when did God make the declaration? Before she even had a child. Lord, I wish somebody could hear what I'm saying. God doesn't wait till you get it to make the promise. He makes the promise before you get it. And the moment you get the promise, you ought to go to praising. But this is the interesting thing. For many who preach this story often make light of the fact that Genesis chapter 18, Sarah laughed. But they forget Genesis 17 and verse 17 that says, then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. He couldn't believe it. He had been with this woman all this time and she couldn't conceive. Now he's got a promise. But he laughed and said, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? I don't have any more satisfactory sperm. I'm 100 years old. And my wife has come through menopause and has no more eggs. Can a child be born in this situation? Oh, I wish I had somebody who was living in the 21st century, but thinking in the first century. God would not promise it if he could not perform it. And the reason he waits until it is absolutely hopeless is so that no human will be able to get glory and take his praise. Oh, I wish somebody could be with me. When are you going to realize that the depth of the problem indicates the next move of God? When you reach a point where you say to God, I can't do any more about this, say that, then back up and get your praise ready. The moment you tell God, I can't do another thing, watch now. You've just invited the El Shaddai to come to your situation. But he inhabits the praise of his people. Woo! Watch this. Look at this. My. You think God doesn't know anything? Read this here in Genesis 17. He said, then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, now he's calling her Sarah, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear a child? Listen to God. And then Abraham said to God, this is what we do. Because I don't have the faith to believe you for my promise, take what I have. He said, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. God didn't call Ishmael. Ishmael was the child of a weak man and a bossy woman. A man ought to be a man. Not violent and brutal, but godly and leading. That woman ought to feel protection. She shouldn't get flowers just because it's the 14th of February. She should get them once a week. She ought to get flowers as often as she cooks. But a man should lead And that's what God expects. God says, all right, I told Adam don't eat of the tree, and he just listened to his woman. Great day in the morning. I told Moses, circumcise the children. He listened to his second wife and didn't circumcise the second child. See, it's the first time God says, all right, Adam messed up, so now all of mankind's going to suffer. But when Moses messed up, the Bible said God put his hands on Moses. He said, okay, I ain't judging everybody for a weak man. He started killing Moses. Now, the wife must have loved him because she had an opportunity to be free. But the Bible says she ran over and cut the foreskin off and threw it at Moses' feet and said, all right, you're a bloody husband. Then the hand of the Lord came off her. God always deals with the man. Gave Samson supernatural ability, not in his hair, but in his commitment to his covenant. Samson had broken the covenant 2 times before he cut the hair. One, he ate honey out of a dead lion. A Nazirite is not supposed to touch anything that's dead. And he drank wine. He's not supposed to drink any wine. And God still forgave him. But when he put his head in that woman's lap and she said, tell me the secret of your strength. And he said, he was like Teddy Pendergrass. He said, it's in my hair. And she went snip, 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 snip. And God said, look at him. Look at him. Look at him. He got a hustler and don't have any more strength. And here the same thing is happening. Abraham says, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Why are we always trying to give God the second best? God said to me, he said, you're going to build a new church and you're going to do it without a mortgage. Do you know how many times people have come to me of the banking community saying to me, we'll help you get a mortgage? They never approached me before. Right now, we can get every dime we need. Because the devil gets out of the way when he sees God's going to do something supernatural. See, a young woman decides she wants to get married, and she begins to, you know, doll up her face, wear shorter dresses, you know, a little tighter things, a little more revealing, you know. She accentuates certain parts just to catch a guy. And God speaks to you and says, I'm going to give you a husband. You're going to be found because you're not supposed to look. So he says, you're going to be found. And the moment God tells you you're going to be found, you can lower the hem of your dress and put on, you know, loose-fitting things because you're going to appeal to the one that God sends. The point that I'm making is you don't have to help God. You just do what's normal. See, God promised Abraham and Sarah a child, but it wasn't an immaculate conception. Abraham and Sarah had to come together. Only Jesus was born without human sperm. And so when God told them that apparently he's going to enable this 100-year-old man and 90-year-old woman to come together at least for one time, you see, God is not going to call you to do what he has not equipped you to do. You don't have to search. I'm trying to find my destiny. You ain't got to find your destiny. When I was born a male child. 32 years ago, I was born a male child. You understand? I didn't have to find my sex. I was a boy. I was a male. And my family related to me as a male. Part of my family nickname had boy in it. They didn't call me so-and-so girl. When God makes you, that's what he wants you to be. Don't be sitting up in here talking about I'm struggling with my sexuality. No, you ain't. You know what you are. Come on, I'm a woman trapped in a man's body. No, you're not. You're a man that's acting silly. God called them, they were ready. Oh, Pastor, that wasn't very kind. The truth seldom is. I am not going to stand before God and be judged because I did not tell the truth. You may be struggling with the devil's lie. But if God made you a man, you're a man. If he made you a woman, you're a woman. Now,
Now,
and I really get tired of people. You know, I'm trying to find my destiny in God. You don't have to find destiny. Destiny finds you. Abraham was minding his business. God said, get up and come go to this land. It found him. You struggling. I just got to find my purpose. Why? Your purpose is to serve God. That's it. The rest of it will just come. You with me? Now, watch this. This is good. Abraham says, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Here, God, take what I give you. Since you won't meet my needs my way, I'm going to work 2-3 jobs. And I ain't going to be available on Sunday to come to worship because you understand. So just accept what I give you. Listen to this. And God said, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son indeed. Listen to this. Now, she hadn't even had the son yet. She's not even pregnant yet. And listen to God. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. Now, you know that when God gets this specific, it's going to happen. Abraham said, look, just do it before Ishmael. Remember early on when God started making him a promise of heirship? And he said, I don't have any seed. All I have is Eliezer, my servant. So he's thinking, okay, let Eliezer do it. Now he's doing the same thing. Lo, that Ishmael might come before you. God said, nope, Sarah's going to have one. And just to show you, business, you're going to call his name Isaac. When God starts telling you exactly what's going to happen, how much more convincing do you need? You would think that if he were rational, he would start, whoo, praise God, glory to Jehovah. This is fantastic. He says, and I'm going to establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed. Whose seed? Isaac's. But God says, you know what? I did promise you that anything that comes out your loins will be blessed. So as for Ishmael, I have heard you and I have blessed him and I will make him fruitful. And I will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. The Arab nation are Ishmael's children. So that's why when the Arabs and the Jews fight, all it is sibling rivalry. Two brothers fighting each other. One sticks with Jehovah, Isaac's children. The others turn to Muhammad. That's why they can't get along, because they have the same father. He says, but my covenant, ooh, this is glory. We got to get ready to stop. I'm going to ask you right now, because this is what I want you to see. In my title, it was, is Isaac or Ishmael, make your choice. I want you to see this. In verse 6, he says, verse 19 of Genesis 17, watch this. And God said, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son indeed, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed. You see what he says? All right, pay attention now. Pay attention. He says, I will establish my covenant with Isaac for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. So what does Isaac receive? Covenant. And how long is the covenant? And does the covenant die with Isaac? It is in perpetuity. But watch this. And as for Ishmael, I have heard him. I heard you. Watch this. He says, I will bless him and I will make him fruitful and I will multiply him exceedingly. And there will be 12 princes that will come from him. And I will make him a great nation. Now you decide, do you want a covenant or a blessing? Ishmael had a blessing. Isaac had a covenant. See, too many of us want the blessing of the Lord, but blessings are subject to termination. The Bible says the children are the heritage of the Lord, and happy is the person that shall have his quiver full of them. Watch this. So when you have a child, that's a blessing from the Lord, right? That's a blessing. It's not a covenant. Because when that child gets older, the blessing is gone. And the headache comes in. Ishmael was a blessing until his 12 princes started fighting with the seed of Isaac over land that God gave to the land of to the people of Isaac. If you notice this, look to what God says. God promised Abraham a land and his seed a land. He said Isaac will have an everlasting covenant and his seed. So since Isaac is of Abraham, then the land of Palestine belongs to Isaac. But to Ishmael, he says, I'm going to make him fruitful. I'm going to multiply him. 12 princes he will beget. I will make him a great nation. But he doesn't give him a land. So Ishmael's going to be blessed in Isaac's land. Hence, we have the ongoing wars of the Middle East. As Ishmael grows, he don't have a land. So he tries to take the land from the Isaacites. And they've been trying to drive the Isaacites out of their Palestinian land. And they can't do it because of the covenant. Lord, I'd rather have a covenant. But you have to decide what you want. Do you want God to bless your Ishmael that was done in impatience? See, Ishmael is the result of impatience. God called Abraham when he was 75, promised him a son when he was 75, but didn't give it to him until he became 100. That's 25 years of waiting. Sarah got tired of waiting. Ishmael's the result of impatience. When you are impatient, what you're telling God is that I'll settle for a blessing rather than a covenant. Covenants take time. Blessings come right away. So we're going to talk, I want the blessing of the Lord. No, I want a covenant. Watch. You can be involved with somebody of the opposite sex and the two of you like each other. You're just dating. You're enjoying one another's company. That's a blessing. That's a blessing that the two of you can enjoy each other's company. You go out to dinner together. You spend time together. You kiss and, you know, you just don't fornicate and all that other stuff, but you kiss and you hold hands and you do all that. That's a blessing. But until you have a covenant, somebody can walk away. The two of you dating, oh, I'm so blessed to have you in my life. But what happens when they wake up tomorrow and say, I don't want you no more. I found somebody better. Now, the covenant doesn't mean that they won't find anybody better. It just means they got to pay for the privilege. I found somebody better. Get me a good lawyer. You can find anybody you want to find. I get 50% of all you got. So covenant is more costly. Well, a covenant with God is more costly than a blessing. A covenant means that you give to God your best every time you show up. I'm in covenant with God, so my praise is always going to be up here. Regardless of my status down here. I have to praise him through pain in my body. I have to praise him through migraine headaches. I have to praise him through negative situations. I have to praise him when I don't have any money. I have to praise him when I don't know what to do. Why? Because I'm in covenant. And covenant means I chose with my mind to follow and to serve him. Do you understand? Marriage is not simply a blessing. It's a covenant. It means the two of you stay together regardless of what happens. And if tough times come, you put your head down and plow right through it because you are in covenant. Glory to God. You find out negative things about your spouse, you're in covenant, just like God finds out negative things about us. Paul summarizes the covenant in Romans chapter 8 when he concludes with, who shall separate me from the love of God? He looks at it from two dimensions. First, those things that can separate me. Secondly, those things that can separate God. He identifies those fleshly things that I encounter, trial, tribulation, famine, pestilence, sore. Is that able to separate you? No, I'm in covenant. Then he deals with the spiritual things, demons, and those things that can stand between me and God. No, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Why? I'm in covenant. Covenant means that, Lord, even if it snows, I'll press my way. It means, God, even if I don't feel well, I'll press my way. It means, God, those situations are not what I want them to be, I'll press my way. Now, here's the biggest part of covenant. Even if everybody else acts like a park eight, I'm going to show up and give you praise. I will not let my joy in you, Father, be extinguished by how other people live. I am not going to lose my walk with you because everybody else is acting ignorant. Father, I am going to get close. Closer to you than at any time before because I am in covenant. Ishmael is going to receive his blessing. He's going to get his blessing. But I want a covenant.
We pray that you were blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title,
Isaac or Ishmael, Make Your Choice,
or the program number,
02219A.
If you'd like to view the Climbing Higher daily telecast, tune in to WBPH-TV on Comcast Cable, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Please check your local cable listings for the channel number in your region. To stream Bethel's Sunday services live, visit BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app on iTunes or Google Play. We stream live on Sundays beginning at 8:15 a.m. and 12 p.m. You're also invited to join us in person by attending any of our Sunday services taking place at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m. at our main sanctuary located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Winco, PA. For more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches invites all women to Women's Conference 2019. Daughters of the King, wear your crown, Friday, May 17th and Saturday, May 18th. Come and join us for 2 days of praise, worship, and life-empowering workshops from dynamic speakers. Joining us on Friday evening at 7 o'clock p.m. will be Evangelist Joyce L. Rogers, founder of Primary Purpose Ministries Incorporated of Carlton, Texas. On Saturday, beginning at 8:30 a.m., there will be a special panel discussion featuring the women's pastors of Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches. The mid-morning and afternoon sessions will be facilitated by guest presenter, Pastor Latera Ruffin from the Life Empowerment Church of Moreno Valley, California. All sessions will be held in the sanctuary of Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Winco, Pennsylvania. The deadline to register is Friday, May 3rd. Registration is available online at BethelDeliverance.org. For more information, call 215-885-2585. That's 215-885-2585. Ladies, don't miss this uplifting time of praise, worship, and life-transforming teaching from anointed women of God, Friday, May 17th and Saturday, May 18th. Plan to join us and register today.
All ministers and aspiring ministers are invited to the Making of a Minister training session with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. He'll be joined by his co-host, Pastor Brian Weatherspoon of Tabernacle Harvest Church of Pottstown, Pennsylvania. Come and join the pastors as they share from their 45 years of combined experience. This special session will equip you with the tools and knowledge for effectively crafting your sermons in order to rightly divide the Word of God. You won't want to miss this important time of training and development. It's happening Saturday, April 13th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincope, Pennsylvania. Admission is free, but you must call to register at 215-885-2585. That's 215-885-2585. For more information, visit BethelDeliverance.org. We look forward to seeing you there.